you're ready to take your leadership to the next level, you're in the right place. This is the Think on Purpose podcast, and I'm your host, Jen Fry. Let's dive in. One of the most powerful leadership skills that comes up over and over and over again in research is the idea of self-reflection, that the leader considers their thoughts, their behaviors, their feelings, and looks at the impact that it's made on themselves, on their decisions, on the people around them. The problem is very few leaders actually take the time to do this sort of self-reflection. When I was thinking about today's episode, I was even thinking about it as a self-evaluation, but there's so much negative connotation that comes with that term because instantly, I don't know about you, but I thought about my boss being like, okay, it's time for your review. Do your self-evaluation, which to me is typically an indicator that my boss doesn't want to do the actual evaluation. They want me to write it, and then they'll make some minor tweaks and then turn that in. Anyway, so if you have ever thought of this idea of self-reflection as a leader, you know you should do it. You know it would be helpful in your leadership journey, and you still aren't actually making it part of your practice. You're not making it part of your day-to-day habit. Then today's episode is for you because I am right there with you. As a matter of fact, I just finished actually several speaking engagements and a couple of podcast episodes, all of which I had on my daily planner that I wanted to do an evaluation. I wanted to go back and listen to myself, consider the content, consider the work that I'm putting out into the world, and really ask myself some reflective questions. The problem is, I made a lot of excuses not to do it. So I want to invite you to notice if you have any commonalities with my experience, and together, let's see what we can overcome. I also want to invite you, if you're not already on my email list, make sure you get on there because I have lots of tips and tricks like this to help you become a better leader. And again, we're all learning this together. So jump on my email list. I promise they're short, they're sweet, they're super helpful because I don't want you to spend a ton of time reading email. I want you to be able to go back to saving the world. Okay, so if we know that self-reflection is an important part of leadership, it's that whole idea of I know what to do, I'm just not doing it. So here's one shift that I'm noticing for myself, and it's being able to go from a mindset of the outcome. Because when I think of an evaluation, it's strictly looking at data. It's looking at numbers. I wanted X amount of followers or X amount of downloads or X amount of revenue. Did I get it? Yes or no? Did I reach the outcome? And while I think this is a helpful evaluation, it's not really a reflection because the reflection is more about what did I learn along the way? So if you make that shift, if you turn your mindset into thinking about what was that internal journey rather than looking at the external production. I just wonder if that changes anything for you. For me, it does change it. And I noticed that, this is point number two, that almost feels even more uncomfortable for me to like take that time to actually look at my own brain, put my own thoughts down on paper, and give myself an honest reflection outside of the data, outside of the numbers. Because the truth is, I can excel at the data. I could get all the revenue. I could book all the clients. I could get all the downloads. But the internal journey might tell a different story. And I'll give you an example. Last week's episode, I released the interview that I did with Erica Royale. And she's an amazing person and someone who I admire deeply. The entire time I was interviewing her, I felt so nervous, so awkward. I like sweat through two t-shirts. And when it came to, again, this thing on my calendar of evaluate the interview, I was like, oh, I didn't even want to listen to it. In fact, I outsourced the editing so that I didn't have to listen to it. I just let someone else do it. And then I hit publish. And even then, it took me a couple of weeks to get brave enough to put that episode out into the world because I know how I felt in the moments that I was doing the interviewing. And it wasn't because of her at all. It was my own internal dialogue, right? Of like, oh, such a stupid question. I can't believe you did that. You're mumbling. You're stuttering. You're repeating yourself, right? there's so much of that inner critic. And that's the part that I think can be really difficult to really like look at and understand. What was that self-talk? What was my internal journey? That's a reflection. The data points, that's an evaluation. Super helpful. I encourage you to do that also. But as leaders, the better that we know ourselves, the more that we can hear that inner critic and recognize, oh, that's the inner critic. That's the judge. That's not me. The more we can overcome it and we can start to allow ourselves to have the awareness and not operate from that place. So when I actually did listen to the interview, I was pleasantly surprised. It wasn't as bad in my ears as what I experienced in the moment. And I think that is very, very common. If we could simply let ourselves watch ourselves from the perspective of an external person, someone outside of our own brains, it's rarely as bad as we think it is. So allowing ourselves to be uncomfortable and get really honest, because part of the honesty is also going like, oh, actually, this would have been a better reframe, or, oh, I could have asked the question a little bit differently. But I'm not asking myself those questions from beating myself up or from the inner critic telling me that I should be better. Instead, it becomes this really beautiful, almost like neutral observation. I wonder why I framed it, the question in that way. So for example, when I played back that interview, I noticed, oh, it's interesting that my questions were focused on the external. I asked Erica, what did people around her think? What was the reaction of people that she was close to? It's not right or wrong. It's not good or bad, but it's interesting for me to notice, because as I fine-tune my speaking skills, my podcasting skills, my interviewing skills, as I get better at all of these things, the reflection allows me to accelerate that skill building. Which brings me to point number three. So we're shifting from outcome-based to learning-based. We're shifting into this willingness to stay in a little bit of discomfort and have honest dialogue with ourselves. Not from inner critic, but from like curiosity. And then the third thing is really noticing that it's such an easy exercise to blow off, because we have thoughts like, well, it's already over. It's too late now. What's the point? And I think this is really framed in this culture that we are focused on moving forward, being productive, continuing to have output, instead of really evaluating the reflective process. Again, instead of valuing the growth that's possible. So if those thoughts come up for you, just sort of recognizing where they're coming from, it makes complete sense, especially if we're in high pressure jobs, especially if we're like, oh, I'll put that on the back burner. It's not something that's immediate. It's not something that's necessary. It won't move us forward. But I think the truth is that self-reflection actually is exactly the type of exercise that will accelerate our progress, that will move the business forward. Because again, the more the leader knows about him or herself, the more the leader understands their own brain, the better we lead. And the better we lead, the better outcomes we get from a data perspective and a self-evaluation perspective. I'm really getting passionate about this because here's what I'm understanding for myself is that when I don't give myself some space for reflection, and I want to pause here because if your brain is like, wow, I don't have time, that'll take too long. Let's get serious. We're talking about 10 minutes of reflection, right? This does not have to take an insane amount of time. So don't let your brain trick you into believing that this has to be a lengthy process. The cost to not doing this is there's so many opportunities we miss. We miss the opportunity for self-compassion. We miss the opportunity to just give ourselves that moment of like, oh, I can see some other ways to do this. I'm so grateful that I did that interview. I'm so grateful that I published it. And I can see some other ways that I might want to do this in the future. And I can do it in the most loving and kind way. I can practice letting the inner critic be a little quieter and increasing my own self-compassion toward myself. We miss the opportunity to be curious, especially when that discomfort comes along. Even just asking ourselves, I wonder why this feels so uncomfortable. that in of itself can be such a growth opportunity. I wonder why I'm feeling this way. I wonder why I'm procrastinating this task. I wonder why I'm avoiding reflection. So often it's because we're just avoiding our own brains. We're so used to beating the crap out of ourselves and we just don't want to do it. We don't want to face our own inner critic. So we can learn the self-compassion. We can be curious. We can practice that direct, honest feedback that I talked about. And when we don't give ourselves the practice, when we're not able to have those conversations with our own brains, with ourselves, I think it gets a little bit harder to have it with other people. So we can practice with ourselves. We can practice on ourselves in this way that's curious and self-compassionate. And then probably the biggest miss here is the ability to get to know ourselves. When we give ourselves some space to grow, we get to know ourselves just a little bit better. And I see this so frequently with clients. It could be something small, like, do you know what your favorite color is? And because we're so detached from ourselves, we don't take the time for simple reflections. Some people have no idea. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite meal? What do you like about your job? We have no idea. So if we can't answer the easy questions, it's going to be even more difficult to answer the harder questions, like, what would you do differently next time? What were you thinking? What was the thought process behind making this decision? Why did you believe that was the best solution at the time? And again, we're coming from compassion. We're coming from curiosity. We're coming from this direct and honest feedback, but it's a way to get to know ourselves. And when we brush past these opportunities, I think it's a critical mistake in our leadership. And the last one that I'll offer, the last reason why I think it's so important and the last opportunity that we're missing when we don't do the reflection is the space to process our emotions. When we're at the end of a project or a task or a podcast or a talk or whatever the thing is that we're doing, it doesn't even have to be that. It could be at the end of the day, a daily reflection, a weekly reflection. Emotions come up. Frustration, excitement, relief, failure. And when we don't give ourselves space to process and allow these emotions, they build and they build and they build and they always come out. Most often at very inopportune times, right? So recognizing that I can just give myself space to have that human experience, no matter what the data tells me, I still get to have my own self-evaluation. So I think the easiest way to do this is, number one, keep it short. Again, this does not have to be like a 3-hour reflection every Friday. It can be 10 minutes at the end of the day, 10 minutes of reviewing a segment of your talk or a piece of your presentation or part of the project. And you can do this over a couple of days' time. So start with 10 or 15 minutes and ask yourself some simple questions. I always like to start with those questions that are like, what did I love? What felt great? What am I proud of? Notice that these questions are super open-ended and they just invite you into reflection versus the evaluation. After we ask ourselves some of these questions, then we can get super curious. I wonder if there's anything I would do different. I wonder what I know now that I didn't know at the start of this project. I wonder what I know now that I didn't know the first time I delivered this talk. For example, what I know now is actually, even when I'm sweating and nervous and fumbling my words, the interview can turn out okay because I'm keeping the spotlight on my guest. As long as I don't try to take over, as long as I don't try to show how smart I am, as long as I'm not making it about me, it's generally going to be a pretty okay product. And sometimes I'm okay with pretty okay. Then we can start with some of those like really empowering. What did I love? What went well? Then we can get curious. What did I learn? What's different? And then we can go to that place of, is there any decision I would do differently because I got new information? Is there anything that I can take with me into the next project or the next task? How might this look different? How did I influence the people around me? And again, all of this is to help me become a better leader so I can make a better impact, so that I can drive the results that I'm looking for. But it doesn't happen without that reflection. So I would love to hear from you. What's your self-reflection practice? What did I miss in here? I'd love to be able to learn from my audience. Tell me what works for you. And if you don't have one yet, try some of these tips and let me know how it goes. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week. Hey, don't forget to like and follow me on Instagram at jen.fry.coaching, where we share more tips, more personal stories, and continue our journey to think on purpose. And if you like today's episode, click those three dots and share it with a friend.